characteristic of the Gospels that when they tell of the call of somebody, they do it in a very schematic way to concentrate everything on the call and the answer, so that we can hear Jesus talking to us. You know, I've said many times, the Vatican Council summed up 2 millennia of tradition when they said that whenever the Gospel is read at the Mass, it is Jesus proclaiming his Gospel. Not Father Francis, it's Jesus. And so we just heard him say once again several things to us. One, come and follow me. I know you've already started, but come, follow me. Walk where I walk. Walk after me. Watch what I do. Do what I do. Now, we don't know how this really happened. Did Jesus just walk by this guy and say, or did he know him before? See, these are the things, I mean, that you can, when you're, like, especially when you're saying the luminous mysteries, you know, and you get to the part of the public life, you know, the third mystery. Take this text and meditate on it. What happened here? And it's okay to use your imagination. You know, if you've ever been to Capernaum, well, you can, it's easier to imagine, you know, than anyway. No, only that you see the site. The city is in total ruin. And the synagogue built there is a second century synagogue. It's not the one that Jesus was in, which is under it. But anyway, you remember especially in Matthew and Mark, Jesus is just walking along the shore and he says, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped everything and went. Goes a little further, sees two more, says the same thing. They drop everything and come. Why do the gospel writers do that for us? Schematize. They don't say, you know, and James was wearing a blue coat, and, you know, they don't. They just tell us the word, the invitation, and the answer. To help us hear his word. To help us hear his voice. Now what wins us over is his love. It's his love. You know, I have a friend who has said, you know, 3 times in my life, she said, I have, in my spirit, I have seen the love in Jesus' eyes. And when you see that, you cannot deny him anything. No matter what suffering he asks of you, whatever chores he asks of you, you just can't deny him anything. Because you see the love that he has for you. And that's the secret of every call. Whether it be to be a monk or a nun or a priest or a woman, you know, a mother of 12 kids or businessman, be a lawyer, be a husband, and a, see, but the heart of the call is that deep personal, come, follow me. So precious. So precious. Now this story goes on here to tell us that Matthew was pretty excited about this. And he had a party. Jesus called me. So he had a party. It wasn't like, you know, can I say this is such a private affair, me and my call. No. Hey, come on, folks. Gee, you know Jesus? He called me. He asked me to come and follow him. So he calls all his friends. Well, who are his friends? Well, they're not, you know. Yeah. Most acceptable people in town, you know, tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, they're all working for the occupation forces. And sinners, people who, you know what I mean, like we call them in the They get to Mass, Easter, maybe. They're not sinners, like they're terrible people, but they're not keeping the law. They're not keeping, especially in the Jewish world. They know what God wants, and they're not doing it. And they probably feel pretty bad about that. But, I got to raise my kids. I got to hold down two jobs. And it's a mess. And Jesus comes. And are they ever glad to get to know him? And the way he tells them about the Father. They are very glad to be at this party. And to, hear the mercy of the Father, the love of the Father. And to hear that. They're glad to be there. The Pharisees, who are also objects of our Lord's love and mercy, they're looking for something else. Now, a lot of what they're looking for, these people will start to do. To obey God, to stop sinning, those are pretty good things to do. But you see the difference. You don't do all those and then hope God likes you. You know the love of the Lord, and then you do whatever he wants. And so, they don't go right to Jesus. They ask the disciples, look what he's doing. And of course, in this culture, eating with people is bonding with them. It isn't, I'll meet you at McDonald's and we'll have a hamburger. This is real. He's bonding with these people. He's saying, these are my kind of people. And they're shocked. They're shocked by that. He heard it. And he went over to them. And so he has three answers in Matthew. First is a proverb. The second is a quote from Hosea. And the third is a statement of why he's here. Proverb, those who are well don't need a physician, but the sick do. Well, then he's saying he's some kind of physician, isn't he? This is, for those who want to follow up, his interlocutors, a self-declaration, because who is the healer of Israel? It says in the book of Exodus, God. So he's claiming to be somebody. But, as it were, gently. They have to follow up on that. They have to... What does he mean he's a physician? Think about that. Which is giving them a chance. Then this line, which is one of Matthew's favorite lines. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And it comes from the book of Samuel. The text, you see, the word that we translate mercy in Hebrew is chesed. And it means like an enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. God has chesed. We sing this how many times in every psalm? Your chesed. We have a whole psalm and the refrain is, because his chesed is forever. The whole psalm. He made the great lights. He's the God of gods. He beat up Og of Bashan. Kilo'olam chasko. Because his chesed is forever. So God is saying, why don't you be like me? Have that kind of... And then our Lord comes right out and says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. There's lots of ways to understand that. The righteous, they're doing all right. Or, hey, there's nobody righteous. Which is probably what he meant. who would both best understand that? Mary, the Mother of God. To see the power of God working her salvation. She is the one who would most appreciate that life. She couldn't say, I'm a sinner, in the sense that I've sinned, but everything I have, including being conceived without sin, is a pure saving gift. And that's the way it ends. Now, I know today we have the sorrowful mysteries, but even add a sixth decade wouldn't hurt. And meditate on this. Till you hear Jesus say to you, with love, follow me. Don't worry about your sins. Don't worry about anything. Just follow me. I will take care of it all.